Dr. Kelm will be preaching from is a profound passage as Paul introduces concepts that are really hard for us to even comprehend, and he does it in a prayerful manner. And so I'm going to ask you to, if you're able to please stand with me, and I'll read the passage for today. Passage is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Please be seated.
Thanks so much, Dan. I am very, very thankful to be able to be with you today. And I'm deeply humbled by Terry asking me to speak this morning. I serve as the executive director of the North American Baptist Conference. This is the community of churches to which McCornan belongs. McCornan is also the church, as Dan said, of our son and daughter-in-law. This means that this is also the church of our grandchildren. And nothing makes life as grand as grandchildren. We praise God for this church family. I came to know Pastor Terry in the early 1990s. At that time, I was the lead pastor of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My first staff hire was Christine Goltz, who you know as Christine Aachen. She was not just a talented and gifted staff person, but she became a very close friend of our family. Christine introduced us to Terry Aachen. And we had the joy of seeing their love grow. Now, Pastor Terry has made many good decisions in his life, but I believe the best decision he ever made is to marry Christine. Amen? That's right. Let's hear it. People of McKernan, you've had the privilege of having Christine and Terry as pastors and as friends. They are a key part of this church family. Today we look back and we recognize the working of God in Pastor Terry's life. As Dan shared just a few moments ago, ordination is meant to be this affirmation, this recognition of God setting a person apart. This is clearly not the start of ministry for Pastor Terry. But it is a looking back to see where God has worked and anticipating all that God will still do in and through Terry. Today I want to share from God's Word in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. This was a prayer of Paul for the Colossian church. It was a prayer about something that the Colossians needed, and it is what we need. It's what Pastor Terry needs. Prayer puts us in touch with the one who loves us, the one who is our provider. Writer Timothy Keller once said, "To pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything." Today, may we pray this prayer for Pastor Terry and for each other, knowing that we're wholly dependent on God for everything. Lord, we ask that you would take this word, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, and that we would respond with joy, joyful thanks, obedience, and faithfulness to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, in Colossians 1:9, Paul prays, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will." Paul has prayed for the Colossians that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will. When we talk about God's will, we are talking about God's plan, God's purpose and mission for us. It's about God working in us. It is about God working through us. Now, I like to read British mystery novels. A favorite British writer is P.D. James. In one of her books, a young girl asks her grandma, "Gran, do you believe in God?" Her grandmother replies, "What a daft question. You don't want to start asking about God at your age." Gran goes on, "There's only one thing to remember about God. When you're dying, call in a priest. He'll see to it that you're all right. And at that time, it is enough time to start bothering your head with God." Now think for a moment about what's being said there. This grandmother is saying that God and our connection to God and our relationship to God is only something to start bothering our head about when we're dying. Now, I have to say that's probably not an uncommon thought by many people all around us. But this is so much less than God, what God wants you to know, that what God wants you to experience. Now, don't get me wrong. Eternal life is clearly a gracious gift of God. But God wants us to know more. Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came so that we might have life to the full. Life abundant. A life lived in God. A life lived through God. And that life lived to the full is found in living God's will. And that's true for Pastor Terry, and that's true for each one of us. God desires this ongoing relationship of intimacy with us. God wants us to know the blessing of walking with him and the blessing of walking in his will, of God living in and through us in Jesus. Now, God's will is based on God's purpose and plan for us. Remember, again, that it is a plan and purpose of the one that loves us and wants his best for us. God intends his will to have this all-consuming, this directive influence on our lives. God's will describes the characteristics of who we are, of where we go, of what we're to do when we get wherever we're to go. These three things, who we are, where we're to go, and what we're to do when we get there, are really basic needs of humanity. Think of how often we and others struggle with the question of purpose and the question of when and where and what and why. God has the answer for us. So how do we know God's will? Our knowledge of God's will is directly connected to our knowledge of who God is and how God works. And we find that in God's Word. It is even more fundamentally connected with our relationship of submission to God. It begins with trusting Jesus as our Savior. And it continues with this abiding walk in Jesus and an abiding walk with God. This knowledge of God and God's will is formed and facilitated in us by the very Spirit of God. A Spirit that indwells us when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. Colossians 1:9 also tells us that we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. God's will is known and understood by God's Spirit. Now, I like to Google things. My kids probably, if they were here and one of them is here, probably are rolling their eyes right now. But I like to Google things when I have questions, when I'm a bit confounded. Google gives me knowledge.
God gives me wisdom. This wisdom and understanding is the Spirit directing us to do and say God's right thing at God's right time and in God's right way. Godly wisdom, godly understanding comes from the Holy Spirit applying God's word to our lives in our surrender to obeying God's word. The more we are surrendered to God, the more God's Spirit controls us, the more we will know the will of God. We will have godly wisdom and understanding. My friend, Pastor Terry, do you want to know God's will? Then keep spending time in God's Word. Keep surrendering your life to Him. And my friends, many of you I don't know, but I ask you for the same thing. Surrender to the work of God's Holy Spirit in you. Spend time in God's Word. Well, the next part of Paul's prayer request in Colossians 1:10 is that the Colossians would know God's will so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord. The words worth or worthy are associated to what we value or treasure. We communicate value and importance when we say something is worth it or something is worthwhile. Verse 10 tells us to live in a way that is worthy of the Lord. That means to live in a way that gives evidence to the value of Jesus to us. It is to live in a way that is fitting and descriptive of Jesus being the treasure of our lives. Jesus being our Savior and Lord and Master. As followers of Jesus, we're to live in and through Jesus. Colossians 2:6 states, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. We are to live in Him. There's a story told of a youngster that sat through a worship service with his dad. After the service, he told his dad, "The pastor spoke about asking Jesus into your heart. Jesus already lives in my heart." The dad said, "Really?" The boy continued, "Yeah, and sometimes Jesus leaves my heart and crawls up my back and looks out my eyes and listens out of my ears and speaks out of my mouth." I love that. It's a true story. This boy, though perhaps not fully understanding, was still speaking the truth. Do we not need Jesus to look out of our eyes and listen out of our ears and speak out of our mouth? We're to live our lives out in Him. Back in Colossians 1:10, to make this even more clear, Paul ties living in a way that is worthy of the Lord to pleasing the Lord, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. Think about the choices that you make. Think about the places that we go. Think about what we say and laugh at and think about. Think about what we watch and read, our priorities, our attitudes. Do we live a life fitting to Jesus as Lord? Do we please Jesus in every way? Terry, you and I as Christian leaders, we know how easy it is to want to please others, to want to make sure that we're liked. How easy it is to be consumed with pleasing everyone else. To be a disciple of Jesus is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is to please and to be intent on pleasing Jesus. It was reported that baseball player Babe Ruth was struck out by a called strike in New York. The crowd booed the umpire. Babe Ruth turned to the umpire and said, All of these people think you're wrong about that being a strike. The umpire said to Babe Ruth, in baseball, it doesn't matter what they all think. All that matters is what I think. Can I apply this to our relationship to God? All that matters for us as believers is what God thinks. And to live in a way that's worthy and pleasing to Him, where we seek His will beyond our will and others' wills. Paul tells us that living worthy of the Lord and pleasing the Lord brings these positive outcomes. Verse 10 states, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. We're to bear fruit in every good work. You see, God's pleasure, living a life worthy of the Lord, is also living in a way that serves God by serving others. God has placed us next to others to live out the life of faith. And when we do this, when we live the will of God in the lives of others, we will also grow in our faith. We will grow in our relationship to God. We will grow in the knowledge of God. So, my friends, the more we study God's word and submit to what it says, the more we seek God's way and will, the more we do what God wants, the more we serve God by serving others, the result is a deeper understanding of God and a growing intimacy with God. Well, in verse 11 of this first chapter of Colossians, Paul goes on to pray that the Colossians are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Now, the Greek word for strengthen and power are forms of the same word, which basically means to be able, to make things possible. In Star Trek, Captain Jean-Luc Picard would give a command and then say, make it so. The captain said it, and it's to happen. To be strengthened with all power is the power to make it so. As people, we like power. I prefer a power motor more to a push mower, a power saw to a handsaw, a snow blower to a snow shovel. Most of us would see something as underpowered or powerless as a bad thing. To feel underpowered or powerless as we walk life can be very discouraging. And that can happen as we face health concerns, as we're unable to solve an issue. It can happen with anything that feels beyond our ability or understanding or our resources. Life has this way of throwing us unexpected curves. You can tell I'm a grandpa because one of my favorite Dr. Seuss quotes goes this way. I've heard that there are troubles of more than one kind. Some come from ahead, and some come from behind. Everyone here in this room knows trouble. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Friends, I have known trouble in my life. Pastor Terry, you've known some trouble. Places where we're confronted with how weak we are, how limited, how imperfect. We don't have the power, but God does. Nothing is impossible for God. There's nothing stronger, more powerful, more mighty than God. That's why Paul wants the Colossians to know and to count on the strength of God. And that's what Paul would want. That's what God wants for each of us here. I want you to note in verse 11 that it's in the present tense. It states being strengthened. To me, that's significant. This strengthening is not just this one-time blast of strengthening, but an ongoing provision of strength. It's a strength when you need it and where you need it. Paul's prayer is that we as followers of Jesus would draw on the strength of God as we walk life. That we would abide in His strength. And it also, I believe, means that we need to keep working. We need to keep putting out effort and expending effort. A little poem goes, "Sitting still and wishing makes no person great. God sends the fishing, but you still need to dig the bait." Don't give up, my friend. Keep engaged. God will add His power to your efforts. And the reason I say that is that in verse 11, it says the result is that we will have endurance and patience. Endurance means to keep at it. The word for patience can be translated as long-suffering. It means to bear under a load. Now, those are easier words, endurance and patience, to say than they are to live out. Often when we ask for God's power, we want Him to take us out of the storm. We want God's answer to take away the sickness, to give the money, to solve the problem. And God can. God is fully able to answer in that way. But God's answer can also be for us to have the strength to patiently endure the storm, to keep going one step at a time, to keep depending on God and trusting God for the needs of each day. Well, in verse 12, I believe that Paul tells us to give joyful thanks to the Father. And that's where I want to end this message. We're to give joyful thanks. Thanks that is full of joy. I have experienced forced thank yous. As a child, when I was given something, I can hear my mom's voice saying, "And what do you say?" Now, it was stated as a question, but it really wasn't a question, wasn't it? The right answer was, "Thank you," even if I didn't feel thankful. There is no pressure when we give thanks in the sense of gratitude that comes from living in God's will and experience God's strength and provision. This thanksgiving wells out of us like a glass of water under a tap, an open tap. It keeps coming and the glass overflows. Thanksgiving and gratitude for all that God has poured into our lives. And that thanksgiving in verse 12 is tied to God giving us a share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Everything that we've read in this passage, everything that we've talked about this morning, is a part of the inheritance that we've received by the death and the resurrection of Jesus, by God's redeeming grace. Verses 9 to 12 has challenged us to live in God's will, to live in a way that's worthy and pleasing to the Lord, to live in God's power and strength, to walk this life with Him and His Spirit working in us and through us. On this day that we celebrate you, Pastor Terry, that is our prayer for you. That you would know that. That your dear family would know that. There's a story told of a man that hired a guide to take him through the bush in the jungle. They were hacking their way through the jungle, when the man nervously said to the guide, "Are we going the right way? I don't see a path." The guide stopped, turned, and simply said, "Keep following me. I am your path." Pastor Terry, keep following God. He is your path. People of McKernan, keep following God. He is your path. He is your path. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much that we, as your community of people, come together to celebrate, to be challenged, to consider again what it means to walk in you. And as we consider the life of our dear friend, Terry Ockham, and as we think of what you have done in him and through him, and what you still hope to do in and through him, we just trust you. And we want to say, Lord, you are our path. Help us to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we respond in worship. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. You have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And my life laid down, surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. You have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. everything inside of me. The darkness flee.